So today indeed we are going to focus on the cross. We're going to focus on the suffering that Jesus suffered on the cross for us. And we're going to focus on the invitation for us to share in those sufferings. But we're also going to focus on the victory. Okay, the victory that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. And also focus on the truth that we have to look forward to, those of us who are in Christ, those of us who are born again by the Spirit of God, can declare with confidence and look forward to this. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Right? Praise the Lord. So this is a word that the Lord has been working on in me. I have to confess that I've been really convicted. And it really is a word of warning, and it's a word of exhortation, and it's also a word of encouragement and building up and strengthening. And there's an impartation in this word. Okay. And what I want to start off with before we even get into the scriptures, and I titled this sermon Share in the Sufferings of Christ, before we even get into that and what the word says about that and what it means and what it looks like and what our response is to be, I want to pray, okay? And I pray that Holy Spirit would work and move in this place. And I pray that He, the Spirit of Truth, would open up your hearts to receive His word and to receive what He has to say. And I pray most of all for an impartation of joy, okay? Because this is the perspective and the attitude that we need to have, okay, in order to share in the sufferings of Christ and receive this word and be able to live it and walk in it, okay? We need an impartation of joy, okay? This is the attitude and the perspective. Okay, I'm not gonna read the scriptures, but I'm just gonna share with you a few scriptures, okay, that really emphasize the attitude and the perspective that we need to have about this sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Okay, and you can write down the scriptures, or you can listen to the sermon again. But Hebrews 12:1-3. Okay, in there it says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. The joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Okay. And if you read in Philippians, okay, Philippians 3. In Philippians 3:1, Paul starts off, rejoice, rejoice always. Okay, and then the whole chapter of Philippians 3 is really the goal that we need to have as followers of Jesus. Paul talks about, he tells his resume and all the things that he was. Okay, and then in there, what does he say? He says, all I want to do is know Christ. Right. All I want to do is pursue him. I want to gain him. I want to know him. And what does he say? He says, I want to know the power of his resurrection and to share in his sufferings. Okay. And that's an attitude and a perspective that we need to have. Okay. Everything is considered loss. Everything is rubbish, says Paul, next to knowing Christ, pursuing him, gaining him, seeing and experiencing the power of his resurrection and sharing in his sufferings. Okay. And then Romans 8, you can write this down, 17-25. I'm not going to read it. Ben's going to read it actually at the end of the sermon because it's awesome. But in there, it basically says, if we are in Christ, we will suffer and share in his sufferings. However, those sufferings, everything that we go through is nothing compared to what's coming.
Right. Amen.
Who's coming? Jesus. Right. Jesus is coming in all his glory. All his glory and majesty. Okay, so this is the joy. This is the joy. Okay, and I just pray that Holy Spirit will fill you with joy right now as you hear this word. A joy in knowing Jesus, a joy in seeing the power of his resurrection, a joy in seeing the Lord save people and bring freedom to people and heal people, a joy in seeing the church being the church of Jesus Christ. This is what God is on the move. Okay, this is what he's doing in his church. Like the joy of seeing what the Lord Jesus is doing in his church. A church who's pursuing Jesus, a church who's loving him, a church who's loving his word, a church who's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, a church who's being refined, who's being pruned. Why? To prepare us. We are to prepare ourselves. We are the bride of Christ. Because when Jesus comes, he says we will be holy and blameless and spotless before him. The joy of seeing his church, okay, come to that place, okay? And really an attitude and a perspective of, okay, let's persevere. Like Paul says, I press on. Okay, a church who perseveres, a church who presses on, okay? A church who our desire is to prepare ourselves for the coming of our King, Jesus. Okay, that's the impartation, okay, and glory. All of this, sharing in the sufferings of Christ, everything that we go through brings glory to God. It changes us to become more and more like Jesus, okay? And, you know, as the word says, we will be glorified with him, okay? Jesus is returning in all his splendor and his radiance and his majesty, and we want to be ready for him. Okay. So if you don't get anything else out of this, okay, get that in your heart.
Good.
And live it and walk in it. Okay. All right. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. Okay. And I want to show you something. The word is absolutely astounding. It's amazing. It's so exciting. Okay. Go to Hebrews 13. And I'm going to read verses 11 to 14. Now, in the sermon, I'm using the NASB for the most part, but I am going to read from the NLT in a couple of the verses, and this is going to be one of them. I'm going to read Hebrews 13, 11 to 14 in the New Living Translation. Okay, under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. And the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Okay, whoa.
Wow.
So in the Old Covenant, okay, on the Day of Atonement, the bodies of the animals who they sacrificed and their blood was carried into the Holy of Holies, the bodies were burned outside the camp. Why? You could read about this in the book of Leviticus, because they were considered unclean.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, you can read also in the book of Leviticus, criminals and many other types of people were regarded as unclean. Criminals were regarded as unclean. Okay, and they were always put to death outside the gate of their cities. Always.
Wendy, can I just say something with the sacrifices?
Yeah.
The sacrifices were considered perfect sacrifices when they killed them and the blood was there. But remember, in the Old Testament, they put their hands over on the sacrifice and their sins were transferred to that animal. So once the animal was killed, it was then considered unclean because the sins were
because
on.
Of the sins. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
okay.
That's right. That's good. So listen to this. Jesus, the Son of God, perfect, sinless, Lamb of God, was crucified outside the gate.
Right. Right. Wow.
Cool. Right? Just think about that. Right. Meditate on that. like a criminal. He was considered unclean. Why? To make his people, us, holy through his own blood. And you can read about that more in Hebrews 9 and 10. I'm giving you lots of homework. Okay, you can go to Luke 23, and I'm going to read 32 and 33.
Luke 22?
Yes, chapter? Luke 23, 32 to 33. I'm going to get practice today in finding all the books in the Bible quickly. So this is what it says. Two others, also who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him, with Jesus. Okay. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Like a criminal, crucified outside the gate. Okay. The place called the Skull was outside the holy city of Jerusalem. I saw that what Ashley made there with the three crosses, and I thought, okay, that's just a picture. Look at that. Jesus crucified outside the gate like a criminal, considered unclean, like two criminals. Okay. And I won't read it for sake of time, but you know, when I read that, I thought, okay, there's another example. There's many examples. There's another example in Scripture that you can read about in Acts 6 and 7. Stephen. Okay, Stephen. Okay, preached Christ crucified. Okay, was taken outside the city and stoned outside the city like a criminal. Okay, now this is the amazing thing. Okay, if you look at Luke, if you're still in Luke 23, okay, and you look at verse 34, okay, this is Jesus's response. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That was his response to being suffering, being crucified on the cross like a criminal outside the city. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And it's really interesting, because if you read Stephen's response, exactly the same. He says exactly the same. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Okay? Is that our response? That needs to be our response. It needs to be our response to suffering, to all the things that happen. Okay? So really, if you, let's just read verse 13 again of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, 13. It says, so let us go out to him, Jesus, outside the camp, and bear the disgrace he bore.
Yeah, right.
In the NASB, it says, bury his reproach. Okay. And that word reproach means reviled. It means criticized in an abusive or angry, insulting manner. That's what it means. We're to bear his reproach. We're to bear the disgrace that he bore. So really, this is an invitation. It's an invitation to join Jesus in his sufferings. That's basically what that is. And so I just want to say, Church of Jesus Christ. This is a message to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's time. Okay? It's time to receive this invitation. I wouldn't even use that word. I would say, you know what? It's a calling. It's a calling for the Church of Jesus Christ, called to join Jesus in his suffering. It's time. Okay? And I thought about this word that was released at the beginning of the year. Okay, and the word was, it's time. Okay, and one of the things that the Lord says, he said, it's time to overcome. Okay, good. It's time, good. Church, it's time to overcome complacency,
good.
Discontentment,
yeah.
Distraction, deception, discouragement,
Okay?
That we are overcomers in Christ, and we have the same power that rose Jesus from the dead in us, the Holy Spirit. We can overcome all these things with what? With truth, with discernment, with wisdom, with the sound mind that Christ has given us, with prayer and praise and thanksgiving and obedience and unity and humility and contentment.
Great.
Okay? How are you doing?
That's good.
We are overcomers. So it's time. It's time to overcome. And we need to move with Jesus towards need, not comfort. Towards need, not comfort. Okay, ladies, you remember in the love one another? Love, okay, is like that agape, God's love, is motivated by need, not by the desire of the person receiving it. By need. We needed a Savior to take away our sins, to be restored back to God, for example, right? So Jesus suffered and died outside the gate, willingly, sacrificially, lovingly. He did this for us, right? And what was this to accomplish? Okay, you could read it in those verses in Hebrews. You go home and meditate on that and read it over and over. It's amazing. What did he accomplish? What did this accomplish? He sanctified us, okay, through his own blood. Okay, he set us apart. He made us holy by his own blood for what? To make us different from the world. To set us apart, make us different from the rest of the world, to make us holy and loving. And okay, this is, I didn't say this, John Piper said this in his devotional, and I love it. To make us holy and loving and radical and risk-taking and utterly captivated by another destiny than this world offers. Isn't
wow,
that awesome?
Nice. Yeah. Great, amen.
I love that, so I wrote it down. Listen, anyone who desires to live a holy, godly, righteous life for Jesus will suffer. Anyone who has decided, okay, to follow Jesus, any one of us who has made a decision with our whole heart, okay, to live for Jesus, live a godly, holy, righteous life, will suffer. Okay. And I even thought that anyone who decided to follow Jesus can relate with this. Even being in and not of this world, we suffer. Like, it's hard. There's always this tension.
Yeah.
Right? Every single day, making a decision for Jesus, right? Not want to participate in the world and the world's ways and everything that the world says, right? Even being in and not of this world really is, there's examples in that of sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And but remember, Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation, okay? But don't lose heart, I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay, now the last part of Hebrews 13, 11 to 14 and verse 14. Okay, it says, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Whoa, okay, there you go. There's the joy, there's the hope, right, that we have. We have to remember that. Okay, Peter in his books, in 1 Peter 1, he starts off and he refers to who he's writing to as pilgrims, temporary residents. Okay, that's who we are. Remember that. When you can remember that, this is not our permanent home. It will help you to persevere with joy. It will help you to share in the sufferings of Christ and persevere with joy. Okay? And remember, I'm going to read Revelation 21, 2 and 3. John says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, The tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. That's the best thing, okay? When Jesus returns, going to set up his everlasting kingdom, okay? And God, we his people, are going to be with him forever, okay? He's going to be, he will be there. So all of these things, all of these truths in the Word cause us, hopefully will cause us, to receive this calling, to receive this invitation to join Jesus in his suffering, to share, as Paul says, in his sufferings, to fellowship in his sufferings, to go outside the camp, to love and follow Jesus, to obey him, obey everything that he's commanded, to press on towards need, not comfort, leave the world behind, leave everything behind, okay? And bear his reproach, even to bear his reproach, right? Because you know what? This world needs Jesus. And the church, we need to prepare ourselves for the coming of our King. Okay? All right, so let's go on. And I really, God really put on my heart to share some scriptures to remind us of Jesus' suffering, okay? Because we can't know what suffering and sharing in the suffering of Christ looks like unless we know how Jesus suffered. Yeah. And honestly, this time of year is perfect. I don't know about you. I mean, every day, really, we need to be reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and focus on the cross, okay? But especially this time of year. I don't know if you do that, but you focus on the cross and be reminded of the sacrifice, a great sacrifice, okay, that Jesus made for us. Everything that's going on in our daily lives, in our lives, in other people's lives, in the world, and you know, everything that's going on, we need to be reminded of the greatness of Christ's sacrifice. Because honestly, there could be no greater display of the glory of the grace of God than what happened at Calvary. Right? So go to Hebrews 9. And verses 24 to 28 is our really awesome, awesome reminder, okay, of what Jesus did. Okay? He came to put away sins by the sacrifice of himself, that it says at the end of verse 26. He came and died, was crucified to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself, his own sacrifice. And then in verse 28 it says, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. And I remember preaching a sermon about how we are to love the return of Jesus. Do we love the return of Jesus? Are we eagerly awaiting him? Like, these truths, getting them in our heart, are going to help us to overcome and go through anything that comes our way, right? Now, I won't read it, but in 1 Peter 1:11, you can write it down if you want. Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets about Jesus' suffering. And he spoke to the prophet Isaiah about Jesus' suffering. Okay, at the end of Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53. So you can go there and follow along with me, because really just going to highlight some words, okay, that really jumped out about Jesus' suffering. We need to be reminded of what he did for us on the cross.
Where is Isaiah?
Okay, so Isaiah 52, 13 to 53, 12. again, I'm just highlighting some of the words that jumped out in regards to Jesus' suffering. So it says in Isaiah 52:14, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man could even recognize him as a man. It says he was despised, he was forsaken, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It says we did not esteem him. It says he was afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was chastened. He was scourged. And all the sins of man fell on him. He was oppressed. And yet, what was his response? It says in Isaiah 53, verse 7, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, Jesus, the Son of God, was slaughtered. He was judged. He was cut off out of the land of the living. His grave was assigned with wicked men. He was crushed. He was grieved. He was like a guilt offering. Like there was anguish of his soul. He poured himself out to death. He was numbered with the transgressors. Okay, Jesus suffered. But remember, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. He resurrected. He ascended into heaven, and he's coming back. He ascended into heaven so that the Father would send his promise, who? The Holy Spirit, who lives and resides in us, his church. That's the victory. That's the good news. Okay? So we don't stop at the cross. So really, from those scriptures and those words, you can see that Christ suffered in every way. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, he was rejected, he was falsely accused, he was betrayed, he was physically tortured, slaughtered, humiliated, mocked, spat on. He suffered the agony. I think this is the deepest way that he suffered. He suffered the agony of knowing that in becoming our sin, he would have to be separated from the fellowship with his Father. It says that in Matthew 27:46, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So, just to kind of summarize through Jesus' suffering what happened for us, Through his suffering, he absorbed the wrath of God on our behalf. He bore our sins and purchased our forgiveness. He provided a perfect righteousness for us that becomes ours in him. Imputed righteousness of Christ to us. He defeated death. He disarmed Satan. He purchased perfect final healing for all his people. And will bring us finally to God. In 1 Peter 3:18 in the New Living Translation, this is what it says. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. And this is a question for all of us. Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, in Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? And just I just want to rephrase that a little bit for all of us, me included. What are we going to do with so great a salvation? What are we going to do? What decision are we going to make? So Jesus actually suffered to be an example for us to follow. You can read about that in 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2:20-25, but in verse 21, it says that Jesus suffered to be an example for us to follow. Okay, and in there, it goes through some examples of his responses. Even though he was reviled, it says he never opened up his mouth. Okay. So when we make a decision to follow Jesus, we're called to share in his suffering, the calling, like we read in Hebrews 13:13. Okay, so go to the book of First Peter. Mm-hmm. Okay, First Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. Says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Okay, isn't that awesome? Okay, I don't know, do you get it? Get that? Same purpose. Okay. We are called to a purpose of to suffer in this flesh, this body, okay? For what? For the will of God. Okay? We're not to use our freedom to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but to serve others in love, it says in Galatians 3:13, I believe. Okay? So I thought about in Galatians 5, where one of the things that Paul exhorts us to do in Galatians 5 is to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Okay, so when we walk in the Spirit, we cannot fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but we can walk in the Spirit and fulfill the will of God. Now, what does that require? Dying to ourselves. Kill the flesh. You can all relate with this. Okay. You know what? Something happens. Something gets said. Okay, you wanna like revile. You wanna like lash back at the person. You wanna get angry. Okay, but because you walk in the Spirit, because you're led in the Spirit, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you say no. We're gonna respond in the opposite spirit. And what do? You kill that flesh. Yeah. And one of the lusts of the flesh is anger. Okay, you can take any of them that Paul talks about in Galatians 5, where, you know, I know I've experienced myself, you can feel the flesh dying. Yeah. And it's possible because of what Jesus did on the cross, because we have Holy Spirit. Okay. And if you look at 1 Peter 4, 12-19, okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's really important. Like, there's so many of these scriptures to go home and read and meditate on. I'm going to summarize it, okay? Because this is it's a picture of the calling to share in the sufferings of Christ. Okay, Peter says, do not be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through. Don't be surprised by all these trials, tribulations, suffering, the persecution that you're going through. Instead, what? Be very glad. Okay, there's joy. Be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. That's the attitude, right? So that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Okay? And it says, keep on rejoicing. Right? So if we're reviled, if we bear his reproach, it says in those scriptures that we're blessed. Okay? We're blessed. Suffering as a follower of Jesus really is to glorify God. That's the purpose, to glorify God. And it says in there, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls which is our mind, will, and emotions, entrust our mind, will, and emotions to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Okay, this is where what I was saying at the beginning. Okay, those who choose to live for Jesus, to live a holy, godly, righteous life for Jesus, okay, we can entrust our souls to Him. He's faithful, right? We will suffer, but we can entrust our lives, our souls, everything to Him. Okay, and in those verses, it also talks about what sharing in His sufferings doesn't mean. Okay, this is really important. Okay, if you're sinning, okay, if you're missing the mark, yeah, okay, and you have consequences and you're suffering, don't say, oh, I'm suffering for Christ. No, you're not. You're having consequences of your sin.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're not, you know, there's just so many examples, right? I mean, take every area of our life, but the finances come to my mind. If we're not, because there's been many warnings to the body of Christ, okay, many warnings in every area of our life. Listen, we need to pay attention to these warnings.
Yeah.
Okay? But one of them is we need to get financially in line with kingdom finances,
yeah,
with the way that God wants us to deal with His money. Okay, that's the first thing. It's not even ours.
Amen.
And what,
yeah,
are we going to do with it? Right? Because if you're not doing that, if you don't have that attitude, if you're just living for the moment, okay, and you're not being a good steward of the money that is God's, that He's entrusting to you, okay, and you're having trouble with finances, okay, and you're then, you know, the spirit of lack and poverty jumps right in, yeah, and all of that stuff, okay, you're not suffering for Christ. You're having a consequence of not following Jesus. Okay, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
And we all have areas of our life. I do too. I'm like, Lord, I need You. I can, like, oh, this is, it's not easy, but it's possible, right? To bring every area of our life in line with His Word and His truth, and Jesus as the Lord, of Jesus as our King. Okay. So here's the question: are we, and I'm saying we, including me, are we willing to share or enter into the fellowship of Christ's sufferings? You have to ask yourself that. Okay, are you willing? Just remember, God will never ask us to do, He won't call us to do something without giving us everything we need to,
right,
do it. You have to remember, yep, that. This is not about doing things in your own strength. Okay, we can't do this without the Holy Spirit, who we have, right? Go to Revelation 6, 9 to 11. I'm gonna read 9 to 11. I just wanna read a couple of verses. Okay. I don't know why, but God put this on my heart years ago. I have no idea why, still to this day. Something about it. Revelation 6, 9 to 11. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will You refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. I know, I could be wrong, but I believe that as we make this decision for Jesus and there's more darkness, more evil, remember, more darkness, more light, though. As we make a decision for Jesus to follow Him, but we're not going to back down, we're not going to look back, okay? Well, part of suffering is, like, when suffering comes with persecution, and we need to get to a place where, are we willing to die for Jesus? Are we willing to die for our faith? There's some of us who will be in that place, I believe. We have to get there. okay? Like physically die, literally die. I mean, we die to ourselves daily, but I mean die, be killed, martyred. Okay, that's what witness means.
Yeah, right.
Okay, witness actually means one who is willing to die for his testimony. Okay, like we all have to ask ourselves, are we there yet? Right, hi Dahlia.
Wendy, can you help me out? Because I forget where it is. Where's that passage that says, for the joy that was set before him?
He endured the cross?
Yeah.
Okay, that's in Hebrews 12, verse 3. Okay?
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Okay. So, you know, we look to Jesus as an example. He provided example. Okay, and you know, we can look to other saints, right? And in the scriptures, you can look to Paul, how Paul suffered, okay? In Corinthians, he goes through all the lists of all the ways that he suffered. And in Timothy, he talks about how he was rescued from all persecutions and sufferings. Okay. So Paul suffered in every way. He preached Christ crucified. He suffered for Christ. Okay. I mean, he wrote a lot of the letters to the churches while he was in prison. Okay. But he says in 2 Timothy 3, the Lord rescued me from all persecutions and sufferings. And then in verse 2 Timothy 3:12, he says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Will be persecuted. Not might be. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And you know, I want to say something that's a little hard maybe. When you read the letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians, the letters to the Corinthian church, okay, you will see that Paul suffered, okay, even amongst the brothers and sisters, okay?
Yeah.
He had to defend his apostleship, okay? He was judged, not by outsiders, but by within the church, mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, like I'm just saying, and but our response needs to be the same, right? So we get to practice one another, right? So I want to read 2 Corinthians 7, 1 to 3. Because in all that, in the sufferings that Paul endured, the sufferings for Christ, and when you read through the letters, you can see, regardless of that, his heart. Okay, his heart, not just for Christ, but his heart for the church. And that's the heart that the Lord wants us to have for his church, for one another. Okay, like Paul says over and over, that he's willing to endure the hardships and the sufferings for the Church of Jesus Christ, right? Do we have that love for one another? So he says in 2 Corinthians 7, I'll read 1 to 3, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Make room for us in your hearts. We wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We took advantage of no one. I do not speak to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Isn't that beautiful? Heart of Paul. I want to have that heart. So then I alluded to Philippians 3, 1 to 11, and again how Paul declares that he wants to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings. Okay? And so, you know, knowing Christ not only means experiencing the power of the resurrection, okay, but it also means sharing in his sufferings. Okay? And again, if you read Philippians 3, it's a summary of what the main purpose in life is as a follower of Jesus. It really is. So let's just look at a few scriptures, because this is what the word says, what the scripture says about having a heart to suffer in the to share in the sufferings of Christ. Are these scriptures in our heart? Do we have them in our heart? Are we willing to allow Holy Spirit to help us to live this word? Okay, because this is what sharing in the suffering of Christ looks like for us as followers of Jesus, those of us who have made a decision that we're going to follow Jesus. This is what it looks like in the word. Okay, so go to Luke 14. So Luke 14, 26 and 27, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me, okay, remember the scripture from Hebrews, anyone comes to me and does not hate, which means by comparison of his love for me, okay, that's what hate means. You can't love anyone more than me, says Jesus, okay. So if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, okay, cannot be my disciple. Okay. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Okay. Go to Mark 10. Okay, this is the hard scripture. Okay, so Mark 10, I'm going to read 28 to 30. So Peter began to say to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions.
Right.
Okay, that I never saw that before. Okay, yeah, we're going to receive all these things because we've left everything to follow Jesus. Okay, and persecutions. Okay, and in the age to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. Okay, there you go. Okay, so that truth. Okay, and in the age to come, eternal life. Okay, that is going to help us to share the sufferings of Christ. That's going to help us to persevere, give up everything, including our life, right? In Luke 9, 23 to 25, I know we're probably getting on in time, but I need to read these. 23 to 25, Luke 9, 23 to 25. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? There's nothing in this world that is worth it,
right,
to hang on to. Okay. Nothing. Right? We sang about that.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing to gain from this world.
And that doesn't mean committing suicide. That doesn't mean killing yourself. No. It means putting Jesus above all the things that you desire in life.
Right. Yes. That he's
willing to die to your
to all the worldly things.
Yes.
To die to our reputations.
Yes.
Right.
Pride. Excellent.
Pride. Yes. Many things. Let go of all those, our own ideas, our own attitudes, our own thoughts, our own goals, and make Christ our goal and what he has for us. You know, really, I mean, there's many scriptures, but, you know, really, Mark 14:36, okay, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, what does he say? Not my will, but yours be done. Are we willing to declare this? Not my will, but yours be done. Right? So just back to the beginning, back to the perspective and the attitude, you can see hopefully from the scriptures that suffering is like multifaceted, right? Where we endure physical suffering, mental, emotional, spiritual suffering. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he says that he's afflicted in every way. Okay, he says in there, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, okay, but not crushed, not despairing, not forsaken, not destroyed. Why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. And you know, really, like thinking about this, I thought, you know, we can't, this suffering has to happen in community. We need the Lord and we the power of the Holy Spirit, but we need each other, right? When we're in but not of this world, okay, when we're making a decision to follow Jesus, if it's in community, in the body of Christ, or we need each other, we need to practice the one another's, we need to do all the things that it says in the Word to how to use the Word towards one another so that we can endure and persevere. Okay, including we need to warn and exhort, but we need to encourage and strengthen and come alongside one another. We must do this in order to reach the world and to be prepared for the return of Jesus. But also, you know, thinking of the suffering, some of the things that it accomplished, the other things it accomplishes, it equips us for ministry. Okay? And it's also a battleground. Okay, when we suffer, okay, we have two choices about how we're going to respond. We're going to curse God. We're going to get angry at God. We're going to rebel against God. Are we going to reject God and blame him? Or, okay, let's just hope that this is the answer for all of us. Or are we going to praise God even in the midst of suffering? Okay. And also, as I mentioned at the beginning, suffering prepares us for more glory, right? And so, just the second last scripture, 2 Timothy 2:12. Okay, Paul is talking to his disciple Timothy, and this is what he says. And this is the hope. He says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we endure, if we persevere through everything that's going on right to the end, okay, we will reign with Christ forever. That has to get in our hearts so that we can go through this. Okay. So now I ask Ben to come and he's going to read the last scripture. Okay, this is absolutely an amazing truth. He's going to read Romans 8:17-25 from the New Living Translation. Okay, and you can just take this and meditate on it for the rest of your life. It's amazing. Okay.
And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We, too, wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently.
And honestly, my response to that in my heart, and hopefully are yours, and we can just declare together, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Right? He's who we have to look forward to. God bless you.